Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. But 2 hours of pushing broom buys a 8x12 4-bit room. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. Tuesday, August 23rd, still 2022. Don't get your hopes up yet. So this is Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. We're here live. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit 1. We're redneckandeyes.com. This is what we're all about. We're all about truckers creating that camaraderie, the brotherhood of trucking, getting out there, talking about what's going on out there on the road, talking about, you know, news, events, just, you know, life in general, see how things go, and just communicate better with the truckers out there and communicate better with everybody else on how truck drivers deal with stuff day to day, week to week, year to year, however we do it. So, like I said, be part of the conversation. Just call in, 515-602-9731. You can follow us along also on YouTube. Please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're on YouTube Live right now. Appreciate everybody watching that. And before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. They're a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado. Let's see, I'll pull them up right here. You can check them out. There you go. So they got a, they got the temperature control. They got hazmat. Man, they got lift gates. I mean, reefer units, all kind of different stuff. You can check them out. Like I said, it's Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. And, I know a couple of drivers that run for them right there day in, day out, and they said they're drop-dead busy. They're always doing stuff. They're always working. You know, the one thing they do talk about is they deal with the brokers. They actually deal with brokers. They deal with shippers. They're not just the drivers where you got a dispatcher telling you where to go, and then any kind of problems, you know, the dispatcher will give you the phone numbers to who you need to talk to directly instead of you just kind of, you know, being the go-between or whatever like that. So check that out. Like I said, Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com, where you can give them a call, 720-277-0030. Just check things out there. Like I said, that's one of our great sponsors, and we appreciate all their support of Redneck and I's. So we're just checking back here. A couple things going on in the news. There was a deadly crash up in near the Houston area where a mother with a, I think it was a minivan or some type of SUV, and it's raining, it's weather's bad. She tried to pass going into a curve on a little country road, and she was trying to pass a big truck, and then she actually hit another big truck. So, and we got a little report about that, a little video going with that too. And they were talking about Heartland. Heartland Express is buying out CFI. Now, CFI is owned by like a bigger conglomerate. It's Contract Freighters Incorporated, which is based out of Joplin, Missouri, and Heartland Express is about to acquire them for $525 million. See, I tell you what, Heartland Express, you know, they're one of those where you might think that they're kind of like a smaller trucking company. They're out there. You see them. And it looks like they got cash. You know, they're buying stuff. CFI, they've got 2,100 tractors and 8,000 dry vans and temperature control trailers, so reefer units. 8,000 trailers, whether dry or reefer. 2,100 tractors. That's a lot of tractors. And it looks like they're going to, we're going to talk about that a little bit. So that's Heartland buying out CFI. So check that out. But yeah, that's what we talk about, life on the road. And if you got anything else, just give us a call, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. And this is Redneck and I's Radio Live. Appreciate you.
The river in the full moonlight.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandis.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I.
It's 7 o'clock on the East Coast, 6 o'clock down here in South Texas where I'm at, and you can call in at 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and I's Radio live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation just at 1. We're also on YouTube Live also. Appreciate everybody following along on that. And please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. That's been really helping us out. There's a lot of cool videos on there. I mean, you know, It's really hard to get good videos out. It's time consuming. So, you know, the ones we do have, I thought that were pretty, you know, pretty good. We're trying to get more stuff together so we can get it done. But right now we're just doing the show. We're doing the radio show. We're doing YouTube Live, and we're talking about stuff. So hopefully everybody's still enjoying that. You know, like I said, let us know. Let us know what you need. You can drop us a line. You can go on redneckandis.com, and you can also email us. We take donations. We're an educational nonprofit. We got a store. We got T-shirts, stickers, decals for the trucks, all kind of different stuff. So go check that out, redneckandis.com. Appreciate everybody's support on that. And don't forget to go check out all of our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I'd like to mention is Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. You can download their app from your phone, whether it be the iPhone or Android. Just look for Trucker Tools, or you can look up truckertools.com. And that'll give you more information about it. It's where you can book freight and track freight, but also you can plan your route. You can get information on truck stops, fuel stops, maintenance, Walmarts, parking, all kind of different stuff. So check them out at truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support over at Neganize. So before I get any further, I wanted to dive into a report from an accident that we look like there's some pictures that we could see here, and we're going to check into that. And I'm going to flip over here to the news report, and I hope they're not. Get out of here with that. Back up. Back up. Come on. They're playing a different video, and I want them to play the video that I pulled up, and they didn't do that. So now, how do I do that? I'll tell you what. We'll just go back over here, and we'll close this one out, pull it back up over here again, and I'll slide it over. That way we know where it's at. See. So it was over there near the Houston area on CDLLife.com. You can pull it up. It says attempt to pass semi on curve leaves mother dead, two children injured. And I've got the clicked here. It's the Houston Channel 11 News. And there we go. And then it's probably going to play an ad, and we'll try to mute that.
Hey, guys.
There we go. And then when it comes up to skip, I'll be able to skip it, and we'll be able to start it off. Let me pause it, pull the mute off, rewind it,
And other top stories today, Liberty County authorities are investigating whether speed or weather conditions were a factor in a deadly car crash.
This happened around 6 o'clock this morning on FM 787, just outside Cleveland. CPS tells us a woman was driving a Kia Sorento and she tried to pass an 18-wheeler. As she came out of a curve, she hit an oncoming big rig and then collided with the truck she was originally trying to pass.
Look at that, man.
A 2-year-old boy in a car seat was ejected, and a 7-year-old boy was also injured. They were in the Kia. Both were flown to the Texas Medical Center with major injuries. The 32-year-old woman died at the scene. Both truck drivers are okay.
So, yeah, that's it right there. That's what happens. We got to respect big trucks. And I know it's tough sometimes because we're on country roads, but, you know, there's facilities out there. You know, you're not avoiding any kind of traffic or trying to get around stuff by getting into, you know, out in the back roads. You know, there's places out there. There's farm equipment. There's, you know, plants and refineries or warehouses out in the middle of nowhere, just like anything else. So, you know, big trucks out there on those smaller roads, especially in East Texas. There's a lot of different states where all the roads, whether they're two-lane or four-lane, they're made for big trucks. And East Texas or state of Texas is like that. Most of all the roads are certified for big trucks. Now, you know, you get into Georgia, South Carolina, and the mountains out there, maybe in parts of Florida and Alabama where they have the smaller roads aren't made for big trucks, and it's a no-truck route. But we got to also just understand that, you know, when you're out there, and especially in the morning commuting or whatever, you know, I don't like it. Sometimes I'd rather have those facilities open 24/7. That way the trucks can get in and out there in the middle of the night without having to worry about commuting traffic, whether it be, you know, school or people going to work. And that's the sad part is that, you know, those places are not 24/7. So the truck drivers are trying to get in and out of those facilities in the mornings and afternoons, just like everybody else is trying to get home and to and from work and everything. So definitely got to be careful, especially in the bad weather. I just, you know, it's a really bad situation. You know, we had that happen before where, you know, the truck drivers are out there trying to do a job, and then they, you know, the cars around them are trying to get around them and everything, or trying to do their thing, and, you know, something happens. Well, in this case, too, the same way, I'm going to say it. The truck drivers are going to get scrutinized because they're going to make sure that truck driver was not disobeying any kind of laws. And that's the bad part, is that the driver is probably doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, he might not be completely up to par, but, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? A lot of times things got to get done. And we don't, you know, we don't like it that we have to do things, you know, whether it be the logbook didn't work out or maybe one of the trailers had a flat tire or something like that. You know, we're just trying to get back to the yard. Bad things can happen, and that's why we always tell drivers, you know, especially these big companies that have the money and resources to be able to call wreckers or tire trucks or whatever, that if you're doing something out there on the road and something bad happens where you got, let's say you got a breakdown, a maintenance thing, and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to sit out here and wait on a tow truck or whatever. I'm just going to haul it back in. And then something bad happens where a big wreck like this, well, next thing you know, you're at fault as a truck driver. And that, I mean, and it's one of those things. It might work out all okay in the end, but right there at first, you're going to be scrutinized, and it's bad because I don't like it. I mean, to me, I have not been in that situation where I've been the truck driver out there and somebody got into a wreck and they got severely hurt or even passed away because of the wreck that I was involved in. I couldn't imagine, you know. Heart goes out to those drivers that have to see that where, you know, they didn't anticipate it. And it was somebody that they don't know, but still, you know, it happened right in front of you. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. So we got to watch out for that stuff. And I just ask four-wheelers to just be patient. You know, truck drivers are trying to do a job. They're not trying to run you off the road. They're not trying to, you know, get in your way and slow you down. They're just trying to do a job. So be patient around them, especially in the bad weather, because they can't go as fast in the bad weather like you think that they should be able to, or you know, you can go faster because you're a car. They can't because they're in a truck. They got to haul a lot of weight. They got to slow down. They got to make turns and curves. You know, the one truck we saw in the video, he's like an end dump grain hauler, and you know, he's high centered. So if he takes a curve too fast, he could roll that truck. So you got to watch out for stuff like that. And like I said, heart goes out to the family that lost the loved ones. And I just send out prayers to the drivers that were involved in that, and I hope everything works out for them. So yeah. In other news, Heartland Express is buying out CFI. And, of course, we see CFI out there. They're the big red trucks with the white trailers, CFI painted on the side of the trailer and the truck. And they get down the road. They do a lot. I mean, it's a big company. According to this here, they've got 2,100 trucks and over 8,000 trailers. And they do temperature control and dry van. So the article on CDLLife.com says Heartland Express to acquire CFI assets from TFI for $525 million. On Monday, Heartland Express Incorporated announced the purchase of certain contract freighters incorporated assets from TFI International. According to the Monday announcement, Heartland will acquire Joplin, Missouri-based CFI's non-dedicated U.S. dry van and temperature-controlled truckload business and CFI logistic operations in Mexico from TFI for $525 million. The acquisition does not include the CFI dedicated or CFI logistics U.S. brokerage operations. So that what that means is that CFI will probably still operate as a broker, but or any kind of like dedicated services, which means that and people not in trucking, sometimes these companies, they build a different company, a different entity, where they go into, let's say, a refinery or a warehouse or some kind of factory that has a lot of freight coming out of it day in, day out, and they do nothing but that. You know, what doesn't matter what it is, whether it be a store or a manufacturer or some goods or something. You know, we see that for, what was it, like PetSmart has dedicated, where they've got a company that dedicated out of there, and then there's a what was the other one that I remember was was it like CVS or somebody like that? But a lot of those, they have different trucking companies hauling all their freight. One company is hauling all the freight for that one company. Whether you think about it, you go down to a shopping center and you look at all these major stores that every shopping center in the United States, any major city has a shopping center with all these different companies, whether it be Academy. You know, and you see the trailers might have Academy written on them. They'll have Kohl's written on them. They'll have, you know, you name it, Dick's Sporting Goods. The trailers might have the name of the store, but the truck even might have the name of the store, but it'll say operated by, and it'll have some type of trucking company that's hooked to it, that's pulling it. And those guys are the ones that operate that. So CFI still has a dedicated company and a logistics U.S. brokerage operations. So they'll still keep that. But the truckload, non-dedicated U.S. dry van and temperature control truckload business and the CFI logistics operations in Mexico all go over to Heartland Express. So according to Heartland Express, the acquisition of CFI together with the recent Smith Transport acquisitions will make the consolidated Heartland Express Group the eighth largest truckload fleet in the U.S. and the third largest based on irregular route asset-based truckload carrier in the U.S. So third largest on irregular route. And up to my understanding, that's probably like, you know, just the stuff. What do they call it? You know, truckload, you know, general truckload, where you just go wherever you go. There's no dedicated route. There's no dedicated region. It's just go wherever you got to go. Says the CFI fleet includes approximately 2,100 tractors and 8,000 dry vans and temperature control trailers. Heartland Express says that the acquired CFI assets will continue to operate out of Joplin under the same management and brand. So you probably won't even see any difference. You might have a DOT number change. And we see that now too, that, you know, used to the DOT number mattered. Now it doesn't. You know, they'll probably get a new DOT number. Swift got a new DOT number. You know, Schneider got a new DOT number. So everybody's getting new DOT numbers. Just to make their record look better. I don't know. It says that Michael Gurdon, chairman, president, and CEO of Heartland Express said, "We are thrilled to welcome CFI to the Heartland Express family of companies, where it will continue to operate from Joplin under its own brand and current leadership team. CFI has exactly what we look for as we expand significant scale, a respected and recognizable brand, capable management, safe and experienced drivers, and a strong asset base and a complementary terminal network. CFI's strengths in the north-south Midwestern corridor will add to our driver and customer capabilities, and their cross-border expertise will help us capitalize on the expected long-term freight volume benefits of nearshoring activity by manufacturers. At the same time, we can offer the CFI people a home that is entirely focused on their core, high-service, irregular route, asset-based truckload freight transportation. Over time, we expect to gain meaningful synergies and operate our consolidated business on a larger scale at our historical margins. And let's see, then they got the chairman, CEO, and president of TFI, which is the company that owns CFI, says the transaction is a true win-win-win for TFI, for CFI, and Heartland Express. CFI is a great company, but the U.S. irregular route truckload business has become a small part of our portfolio. CFI's people have been a small part of the big companies for the past 15 years, and we wanted to find them a permanent home with a leader in the asset-based truckload industry to show that they can accomplish. Heartland Express is a truckload industry leader, and they respect and support CFI's brand, leadership, and drivers. I said, Mike Gernon and I were able to quickly see the benefits of all the parties and come to fair terms. He says, we cannot have found a better match culturally and financially for this transaction, which will afford CFI the opportunity to flourish and allow us to redeploy capital and focus our U.S.-based efforts on LTL assets, light logistics, and specialized truckload units. We expect a smooth path to closing and wish our colleagues at CFI and Heartland Express only the best. So my question is, you know, we always worry, what we worry about, and there's two aspects to look at this, and what I'm talking about is like a monopoly kind of thing. You know, there was a big deal long ago about monopolies, and courts were talking about this, where it's what do you do with the monopolies when you talk about, like, you know, is it bad for the customer? Are they going to jack up the prices, right? That was always the concern back in the day when they had antitrust laws. They said you can't monopolize the industry because you're going to jack up the rates on the customer. So Walmart was taken to court for monopoly. You know, Microsoft was taken to court for monopoly. Apple, monopoly. You know, we even saw where when Pilot and Flying J merged, they made them sell stores, get rid of some stores because they were significantly more stores. So they said, you're going to have a monopoly in certain areas, so you got to get rid of some stores. And they sold them off to Love's, and Love's bought a bunch of them. And so now it's like, well, so what is the rules now? And some judge back in the day, back in the 80s, he ruled that the monopoly is, this is like with Walmart and all them, the monopoly isn't that much concerned as long as they don't rip off the customer. So monopoly is okay as long as the person, the company that's in charge of the whole industry, like Walmart, you know, Walmart, you'd rather go shop at Walmart or you'd rather go shop at Amazon because the prices are lower, right? You can't go to the mom and pops because prices are more expensive. So Walmart is they're monopolizing the industry of retail stores, and they're giving it to you cheaper, you know. And everybody out there, like hardware stores, electronic stores like Best Buy, clothing stores, places that only sell certain things like clothes, electronics, or hardware, those places will tell you that Walmart is their biggest competitor, and it's because they give away their stuff cheaper. And so when they were being sued by, you know, antitrust laws, the judge was like, well, they're not screwing the customer, so it's okay. So then the question I want to ask is that when you have a monopoly and you are controlling the industry, so let's say that you're an experienced retail provider, like you know how to run the register, you know how to stock stuff, you know how to handle customer service and that stuff. Are you working for, or are you trying to get in there? Like let's, you know, is it fair to the employee that there is a monopoly? So this is what I ask, is that when you have these trucking companies, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Are they necessarily better? I mean, we already know. We already make fun of Swift. We make fun of Schneider. We make fun of J.B. Hunt. They're the biggest. We make fun of them because their drivers are crap. And it's not that they have, you know, crappy drivers. They do have tons of crappy drivers. But, I mean, overall, they're still pretty safe. They're pretty good because of numbers-wise. But when you're driving down the road and you see 100 Swift trucks in a day, just stretching out over 500 miles, you could probably see, especially out west, you could probably see 100 Swift trucks going down the road in a single day. Now, how many of them are doing something stupid? And a lot of drivers tell you, most of them are, you know. And when you're in a facility, like a truck stop or a customer, you know, getting unloaded, waiting for doors and all that, you know, how many times do you shake your head because those bigger carriers, those bigger companies, they're the ones that the drivers can't back up. They can't maneuver. It takes them forever to get where they got to get parked, you know, stuff like that, park in the way, you know, stuff like that. That's what we make fun of is, you know, or they're not wearing like a good, they're not wearing shoes. They're wearing flip-flops. They're wearing shorts. You know, they're just not dressed as like a truck driver. They're not ready to do the job. I mean, I remember when Swift was doing flatbed, there were a lot of flatbed drivers I saw with like shorts and tank tops and flip-flops out there throwing chains and, you know, jumping up and down off the truck with their sandals on and all that. And I just shook my head. I'm like, you know, I don't even do flatbed. And I was like, that's stupid, you know? And you get in that rut where you just don't even say nothing. You just shake your head, you know. And I think that's what we got to do. We got to start saying something. Companies, when they get bigger and bigger, and a lot of these CEOs, they'll tell you, oh, no, you know. And what it is the CEO looks at his report, and he sees his numbers, and they still look good. Everything's fine. I totally agree. I'm not saying that the numbers don't look good. The numbers still look good. The problem is that when you go from having 2,000 trucks to 4,000 trucks, okay, let's say that you only had, let's say you had 2,000 trucks and you only had 150 of them doing stupid crap every day, okay? Well, now you have 4,000 trucks and you've got 350 of them doing stupid crap every day. And that just makes you look even worse, because when you start putting the same name on all the same trucks and then you got stupid people doing stupid crap, And all we see is the name on the truck, then that's where you get a bad rap. And that's, I'm just being honest, that it has nothing to do with the numbers. It's what we see. That's what we see. You know, we see Celadon, we see CFI, we see Swift, you know, JB Hunt, Prime. You know, the other night I was driving down the road and I kept trying to pass this truck, and he'd go real, real slow. Even going like, you know, going down a hill, speed limit 70, he was only going 60 at sometimes. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to pass him. Well, then he'd see me pass, he'd speed up. And I finally got up to him and I'm like, man, that's the Prime guy. He's sitting there doing that, you know, and I got to stay out of the way. I can't just sit there and wait all night to go around him. I just got to stay behind him until he either gets off the road or I get off the road, you know? So what are you going to do? You know, I'm not one of those that sits out there in the middle lane. You know, I had a guy flip me off the other night. I said, get out of the middle lane, you know, and I'm passing him on the right because that's the only way you can pass because there's no trucks allowed in the left lane. And I mean, I'm kind of like motioning, you know, get out of the middle lane. He just flipped me the bird. He's like, he don't care. He's going to stay in the middle lane. That's his deal. He wants to be in the middle lane, you know, and regardless of whether he's getting passed or passing anybody, he don't care. That's what we got to stop. We got to stop that crap. Cut it out. And like I said, it's about, you know, handling your stuff and staying out of everybody else's way. If the speed limit's 70 and you're only going 60, 65, get to the right, stay out of the way. A lot of these companies out there, they govern the trucks, and, you know, that's what you see. You see drivers out there driving super slow, and they're in the middle lane or even in the left lane, and you got to stop it. You know, you got to stop it. Or they're slamming on their brakes because they missed their exit, you know, change lanes without signaling, stuff like that. Just cut it out. And we see that. That's what we see. And all we see is we see the name on the truck, with name on the trailer, and we see them doing stupid stuff. And it just registers in our brain as truck drivers that that's the company that has stupid drivers. So like I said, as an owner of the company or the CEO, you look at your numbers, and your numbers still look good. It's under 10%, you know, or under whatever it is, you know, as far as stupid drivers or bad drivers. You know, the numbers will stay low. It's just that the amount of drivers that with the name on your truck, when your truck count goes up, so does that go up, the number of the, and you may look at your report, and your report says, hey, you know, we're doing good. We only got 10% bad drivers. And we've always had 10% bad drivers, but now you've got 4,000 trucks, 5,000 trucks. That means you got a lot of stupid drivers, a lot of them. And that's what we see day in, day out. So that's why when you talk about monopoly, you know, to me, that's a safety concern right there, because the smaller companies, their numbers are really low, really low. You know, in fact, the smaller companies, if their numbers go up, they get shut down. Because just think of it. If you got, let's say that you're a small owner operator company and you got 5 or 10 trucks. You got 10 trucks. One of them has a bad accident. That's 10%. Okay. You have another truck that has a bad accident. That's 20%. They shut you down. That's a bad ordeal. So it's about percentages. Or you have inspections. You get bad inspections. If you have 10 trucks and one truck gets a bad inspection, you know, that's bad. And you get 2 or 3 have bad inspections, then they come in there and knock on your door and say, hey, what's your problem? And see, these big companies, you know, they can have, you know, if you got 4,000 trucks, that means you can have 400 trucks that have bad deals and you still at 10%. So, you know, that's not that big of a deal to them, to a lot of people, to the government, to the companies, you know, 10%, that's fine. But that's the problem, is that it's a high number when you've got a large company and you can only keep up with a certain amount of drivers. And then you can only hire so many people to control that many trucks. That's where I think a monopoly is happening, is where you've got a company that's trying to control cost, and they control cost by not having enough people to help maintain safety records or performance or control good drivers and bad drivers. You know, and that's what you got to watch out for. That's everything, you know. Look at pay. Look at pay. You know, the more and more, the bigger the company gets, are they paying more? You know, I know a lot of small companies that pay really, really well. I know big companies that pay good. I don't know of any really, really big companies that pay good. I could be wrong. You know, a lot of times it's time in with these companies that they're not going to start paying you good until you prove your loyalty, which is fine. But, you know, how many drivers, I mean, that's the other thing too with these big companies, because they're so focused on getting the new drivers in and getting new drivers, the older drivers, you know, some of them stay, some of them, they go elsewhere. They go to these other companies that are paying much more, or they go on their own. So it's also about pay. You got to ask about pay. Are these bigger companies controlling the pay, keeping the pay down? I mean, you know, you just got to watch out for that. So, I knew that was going to get it because of the, you know, acquiring, making these companies becoming bigger just gets on my, it gets that one deal on me where I just know that nobody really cares. You know, companies buy other companies all the time, but really, what is it doing? You know, the drivers, I remember, I was working for Swift back when Swift and MS Carrier merged, and everybody thought it was kind of a buyout where Swift was buying out MS Carrier. It was really a merger. The problem is MS Carrier was like, we're not doing anything. You know, no more MS Carrier. Everything's going to be Swift. But really what happened was is that all of the people that were working in the front office for MS Carrier, they pretty much became front office people for if anybody out there working for Swift and knew me at the time down there, remember, Kansas City Swift was the main hub for the central region for Swift. When MS Carrier merged, Memphis became the central area because that's where MS Carrier was based out of. So then Memphis became the central hub, and all the big corporate people that were working for MS Carrier, they all merged in there. And next thing you know, Richard Stocking became the CEO of Swift. He was an MS Carrier guy. And a lot of terminal managers were promoted from MS Carrier. And there's a lot of guys that were in Kansas City that got kind of screwed over because they were working their way up to become like regional managers and all that. And next thing you know, they said, no, you're not no longer part of that. It's going to be Memphis. You know, so they quit. They went on somewhere else. Now it's all Knight. And that's a big thing, you know. Knight, Swift, Knight, whatever that is now. You know, and they're all merging together. They're all one big happy family. They all know each other. You know, the guy that owned MS Carrier was like best friends with the guy that owned FedEx or related somehow. And then next thing you know, they're all friends with people that own Swift. And they all know each other. You know, they're all friends. So when you're talking about competitors, they're not competitors. You know, they compete for maybe some customers, but they don't try to, you know, they're always trying to help each other. The people they don't care about are the smaller companies. That's what they don't care about. They're all friends. They all move money around. They all know each other. You know, their kids are marrying each other. You know, kids are marrying kids and you know, having kids. And it's kind of like the NFL, you know, where the owner of the Giants and the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, their kids married each other and had kids. What was it? Rooney and Mara. Mara is the people that own the Giants. Rooney was the people that own the Steelers. And they're like son and daughter married and had kids. And that's where you get, I don't know if you guys follow movies. Kate Mara is an actress, really good. Had been in a lot of movies. Her dad is one of the executives at the New York Giants, and her sister is Rooney Mara, which is named after Rooney, the other grandfather of the other side. So, you know, next thing you know, you're going to see this. You're going to see like Moyes and Knight, they're all together. The people that own MS Carriers, Smith was at FedEx. I don't know. But anyway, they all know each other. So it's crazy, you know. And they all like, hey, man, let's go make some money. Let's go make each other rich. That's what they talk about, you know. And then they're going to hire politicians to forgive all of their kids' student loans. Because that's what's going on right now, is that the government's ready to forgive student loans for college people. So all you guys out there listening and you didn't go to college and you made the right decision by going to work and making money on your own and trying to stay out of debt, well, here it is right here. They're giving out free student loans. And I was online checking it out. There's a lot of people out there say, oh, it's bad because if you're a student in college, they tell you, you know, this is what they tell you. They tell you get this loan and it's only going to be this much. And it turns out they lied and all that. And I just kind of said, well, that's predatory lending. That's nothing new. Predatory lending is like in every aspect of life right now. The federal government and all these big banks, they don't want you to be out of debt. They want you to be in debt. The more debt, the more money they make. And they want you to be in debt. That's what they want. The government wants you to be in debt. Because as long as you're in debt, they have power over you. Dave Ramsey always say, you know, it's in the Bible that the debtor is enslaved to the creditor. Or lender, whatever. They have power over you as long as you're in debt. There was a program, I was watching the news one time out there truck driving in Virginia, and it was one of the colleges had like this, they were building houses for poor people. And one of their stipulations is they were getting charity and government money and all this, you know, grants and stuff. And one of their stipulations is that we'll build this house for you and give you this house for free as long as you come and you take classes at our university that teach you how to, like, home economics and budgeting, where you learn how to budget and you learn how to pay your bills and you learn how to save money. The federal government pulled their grant money and all of their federal funding because they were having classes about budgeting. They said, you can't do that. You can give them home ec classes about how to cook, how to sew, you know, but you can't give them any classes about managing money. You can't do that. That's against the program, or I don't know what it was, if it was breaking a law, but they just said, no, we're pulling it. And it was on the news. You know, I wish I would have taken notes the time I saw that. I was like, you know, just kind of like wasn't paying attention. And then when I heard them say that and they kept interviewing people, I'm like, man, that's crazy. You know, but that's what it is. They don't want you to be out of debt. They want you to be in debt because then they have power over you. Anybody out there that's out there talking about student loan forgiveness, just know that truck drivers are being approached about financing trucks and leasing trucks, and they're told all this great stuff, and it finds out that they've got lied to. People are trying to sell houses and telling them, oh, yeah, it's adjustable rate, but, you know, it's not going to happen. Next thing you know, we had a housing crisis because of the adjustable rate mortgage. People defaulted on their loans because they were given houses they couldn't afford. It happens all the time, you know, and nobody cares. You know, you go in there, like I mean, one guy was talking about Ford. The CEO of Ford wanted to get rid of the dealership model because he says the dealerships are jacking up the prices. And, of course, dealerships are jacking up the prices because the market demands it. And, of course, the dealership is a small business, so they're trying to employ it and everything, which I understand. But the only reason why cars are expensive is because they get financed. Houses are overpriced. Cars are overpriced because of the financing. Because you go in there and you don't – how many people worry about the total price of the car? You don't – nobody ever – when you go to a dealership to buy a car, you never, ever worry about the total price. All you care about is, okay, when you give me the loan, how much a month am I going to have to pay? That's what I'm worried about. That's the money I'm worried about paying, you know. And they come in there and they'll say, you know, we'll give you this for this amount. And you don't care. You say, that's I can afford that. And what you realize is it's an eight-year loan. Or, you know, it's a 5, 6, 7, 8-year, 9-year loan. You know, they branch it on out just to get that payment down. And, of course, each year that they extend it by, they raise the interest rate. And nobody cares about the interest rate. You know, nobody looks at that. You know, the only people that worry about interest rate and total price are the people that can't afford a car. I got a buddy of mine I went to high school with. He's a car salesman. He says the hardest people to sell cars to are the people that can afford it. He says that. He says when somebody comes in and they don't think they can afford the car, and you say, sign here, this is the payment you're going to pay, and they're like, I can do that, and they'll sign. You know, as long as you make the payment right, they'll sign. They can't afford the car because the payment is kind of too much, but they think they can afford it, so they sign it. And that's what it is. But, yeah, it's all about debt. And people that really can't afford anything, they just want to know the monthly payment. When you go to a house, you don't care. When you go buy a house, you don't care about the total price. You look at the total price because you figure that whatever the total price is based off 30 years or 15 years, you can kind of guess your payment. So you look at, let's look at houses that are this price range because I know that when the financing comes, and of course it's all about money down because you can't really buy a house these days without putting something down. So you want 10% down, that means you got how much money you got here? Okay, so 90% of that is what the house has to be. So you go, that's where you find the house. You know, cars, same way. You know, but again, that's only if you have money. Most people don't even have money to put down. You know, they're basing off of what they can sell the other property for, whether it be a car or a house or whatever. You know, I'll make some money off of that. That'll be my down payment. So yeah, that kind of stuff. That's what it is. It's, you know, student loan. People out there say, oh, student loans are bad. You can guess what? Debt's bad. Period. Doesn't matter what it is. So don't, you know, people getting that student loan paid off. Next thing you know, guess what? The schools are going to up the charge again, and you're going to have the same number of people in debt another 5 years from now. And it's the funny thing is, like, they're putting it's like $10,000 if you make less than 125. How many college graduates make less than 125 a year? That's That's pretty crazy because truck drivers now are making 100, 125. So if you're a college graduate, you better be making 150, 200. That's all I can tell you. If you went to college and all you're making is 100 grand, I feel sorry for you. Especially nowadays with inflation so crazy. You better be up there. Oh, man. Well, that's about it for me. I think I'm all done here. I got about 10 minutes left, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up because I got a couple people listening along, but it doesn't look like they want to chime in. And yeah, see, that's what we were talking about. Yeah, we were talking about Heartland and, you know, whether or not they're taking care of their people. And it's all about, you know, people that work for these big companies. You know, even the people in the office, well, they're not, they just get in, sit behind a desk all day. They don't know about the industry and about the market and about how trucking works. You know, they just sit behind a desk fiddling with the computer and they have rules, you know, and it's kind of like, as long as I obey these rules, I can go home at the end of the day and everything's fine. You know, but they don't know about, you know, industry, the trucking industry or anything like that. They don't know anything like that. So, but the companies, I mean, are they training their drivers or not? You know, a lot of them aren't. So anyway, yep, I hope you guys enjoyed it tonight. I love ranting and raving. We get Greg back on here pretty soon, and we'll get him to rant and rave, and that's always fun. So check us out, like I said, redneckandeyes.com. And let me get, what are we going to do here? You know what? I hadn't heard this one in a while. Hang on a second. Like I said, whenever I get on a rant and I let the computer kind of do its own thing, I got to set everything back up again because they kind of shut things off and all that. But anyway, so yeah, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And I'll be back here on Thursday. Okay, the Women of Redneck and Eyes will be here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. I'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. It's the same number, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, don't forget to go thank our great sponsors. One of the sponsors I like to mention is DPF Regeneration. If you got something going on with your particulate filters, you know, the regen system and all that, those are the guys that have all that technology going on. And they just, any side diesel engine, they got a lot of experience dealing with diesel engines. Go check them out. DPFRegeneration.com, DPF Regeneration. Give them a call at 800-634-3010 and just let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes because we really do appreciate them. So let's knock it back here and get things going. So appreciate everybody joining along. Don't forget, like I said, go subscribe to YouTube channel and check us out, redneckandeyes.com. All the links to our sponsors and all the links to our social media accounts are right there, redneckandeyes.com. Send us a line. Let us know what you think. And check out our store. We've got T-shirts, decals, all kind of cool stuff. So check that out. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along. Thank you now. Good night.
Heading up down in back of the sheets makes that rosin burn. He's got his spurs on the heels of his boots. He's at the point of no return. Climbing over that chute gate, he settles down inside. The tension's rising, but he can't wait until they turn that bull outside. He's addicted to danger, ruled by passion and pride. The pain and fear is no stranger, but his life needs to be satisfied. Hooked on his second ride.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.